Hey folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today's guest, Alison Reeves, is going to talk all about big vitamin. We're going to try to take away the mystery, the fear around applying for a writing a bid, but also applying for tenders. So, Alison, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm very well, thank you.
Cool. So just tell people, if you don't mind, for about 30 seconds to a minute, what do you do? What is bid writing?
Right. What happens is when local government, central government, councils, whenever they have to go out and buy something, they can no longer just go and buy it and choose who they want to deal with. What they have to do is they have to demonstrate that they've put that purchasing information out and they are selecting the best person to do the job. And I think it really is, it's not like in the old days when people would go and play golf and make friends and use their buddies, you know, for their products and services. Yep. It's actually, they have to be, I can't think of the word now, but they have to prove that they haven't got a vested interest in any business that they do business with, and vice versa.
Gotcha.
So what happens with the tender is they put this document out which says, this is a product or service that we want to buy, and this is how we want you to provide it, and this is what we expect from it. And then various people can put a bid in on that tender, and they would include pricing and answer questions that are set by the tenderer, and then they mark that bid, and mm-hmm. they're very open about what the marking structure is. And then, having marked it, they get a winner, if you like.
Okay.
It's not quite that straightforward, because on some tenders they like to appoint more than one supplier, and they have what is called a framework. Now, a framework is when a council or an organisation says, right, we want to buy paper clips, but we don't want to be stuck with one supplier because it's quite a big piece of work. Therefore, we want to spread it around, or it might be that one person isn't big enough to manage it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick three people, or we're going to pick six people. And then out of those six people on the framework, we can go to them at any time and just place an order. So
sounds simple, but actually very complicated and lots of moving parts.
Yeah, there is some moving parts, but essentially, what the most important thing is once the tender goes out, it goes mm-hmm. and goes out onto what's called a portal. So all of the, as I say, government bodies, they have to put these out on a portal. There isn't one portal, though, to make life complicated. There's loads okay. of them. And what happens is they put them out on a portal, and yeah. sometimes it's a regional portal of some description, which makes sense in some cases. And then you can go and have a look and think, oh, I'd like to work with those people. I could supply that. Mm-hmm. And then you actually download the documents, or sometimes you have to complete the documents online. Now, what tends to happen with a tender, do you want me to explain how it's the structure of a tender and how it works, the process?
Yeah, as I say, I've actually gone through the tender process, not successfully, by the way. But I went through the tender process for a piece of work with a local authority.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Actually, it was quite refreshing to go through the process and actually just seeing what they wanted for the information. Because I found personally, going through that process, it actually made me clearer about my objectives and what I wanted to achieve during that project anyway. So actually, it was quite nice to go through it as almost for a planning tool. I digress, but what is the tender? What's the application?
I think as well, I mean, every tender is different. This is the problem. Then there's no two that are ever identical, although sometimes they actually use the same documents from a previous tender and they're not that appropriate, but there you go. But essentially what happens is they put it out to tender. Now they cannot, sometimes it's just a one process and sometimes there's two processes or three involved. So very often they'll put a tender out and they'll do what's like an initial stage. And what that is like a compliance stage. It has a number of different names, but it's often referred to as a an RFP or something like that, request for information or whatever. Anyway, what it basically is it's identifying the people that have the credentials to supply to them. And that it means you have to fill in like a selection questionnaire. And that questionnaire often includes questions about your financial history. And, you know, because they want to deal with people who are upright and, you know, they've paid their taxes, they've paid mm-hmm. their bills and all that sort of thing. But they'll also ask questions about your policies and procedures, because they are duty bound by the government to only contract with people who have a proper equality and diversity policy or, I don't know, environmental policy and all this sort of thing. Because there's all these little buzzwords that they use, you know what governments are like. And so essentially that is the first stage. And then what happens is they look at that and think, oh yeah, we've got six people who are who've put submissions in that are actually perfectly satisfy all of our needs in terms of compliance. So that then you would go on to the second stage, which is what's called the tender stage. Now I'm saying this loosely because sometimes these get all mixed up depending on on what they do. But the tender stage is where they tend to ask the more searching questions. So they might say, this is the service that they want. How are you going to deliver it? What sort of staff will be involved? Who will be managing the project? What will the outcomes be? How are you going to monitor whether it's effective? Mm-hmm. It's those sort of questions. So they're wanting to know much more detail about the project and how you go about it. Mm-hmm. And helps them. And each of those questions is marked. So again, we get this situation where you have a winner at the end. Now, sometimes they might pick two or three people from that and say, right, we're going to have a third stage and you've actually got to come into a room and do a presentation.
Okay.
And at that stage, what you need to do is get, now sometimes they'll give you some set questions that you have to answer, but sometimes they just say, present your bid. So your job is to get what I call the key messages that you want mm-hmm. to get across to them, because you only often have 20 minutes or so for that. And actually get those messages across. And I think an element of that presentation can also be around personality. They want to see if you're a good fit for each other. Because what they don't, and it depends on the nature of the service as well. I mean, if you're just, if it's for a cleaning company, sending loads of cleaners in, they might not do that. But if it's for an IT project, for example, and you've got to spend a lot of time working with their team, then it might be that they want somebody who fits well with their team. Everything else, they've ticked all the other boxes, and it can come back to that like, know and trust thing.
It does.
We like to talk about so much. I will say one thing with tenders, and I mean, it's not a rule, but it's a general guide, is that if you know the business and you've, or the council or somebody that you've built up a little bit of a relationship with them, you've got a much better chance of getting through. If they don't know you from Adam, I have known people, we have won one or two tenders by being really, really good at you know, the company's really good and we've done a good tender, but it's you have less chance if they just haven't got a clue who you are. Mm-hmm. You've got to prove yourself. They don't know you. And that's the no like and trust coming back into effect, isn't it, really?
Yeah. So how would you... So many parts to pick apart on that, but really good info. But going back to your point about that no like and trust, and actually I think it's so important for anybody to be able to do that, especially if you're working together on a one-to-one basis or, you know, in close proximity over time. But if you're going to a local authority where 9 times out of 10 you won't know the people who are looking at the bid or application, how can you build that know, like, trust beforehand?
Well, I think that part of it is what a lot of people do is they apply for tenders, say for a local council, and they have if you've built up a reputation in the area beforehand, they will know your name because they will have looked, they will have done a bit of research. So I would say, I mean, it's slightly outside my sphere, this is, but from a marketing perspective, you know, I would say go out, do some networking, you know, get stuff out there on social media, go along to local events. The councils often do local events, and they very often do days, procurement days that you can go along to, where you can meet their procurement team and they talk about the processes and what they're looking for in their suppliers. So you can sort of get your face in there and get your name known. So it's all about being consistent in your marketing and just getting out and people getting to know you. And I think, you know, it's really difficult because they're supposed to be really dispassionate when they're marking these tenders. But if you've got a very, very good reputation, there's always that subjective bit, isn't there, when you're marking something? I mean, I know they try to take that away. But if you have a really good reputation, they're more likely to give you the benefit of the doubt on something. Whereas if you have a bad reputation, they're more likely to be a little bit more cautious with their market. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But it sort of works. And I think the other thing is that even if they don't know you, when we come to the compliance stage, what I see a lot of smaller businesses doing is really, really casting around, trying to get all their ducks in a row, if I could say that, with regard to policies and procedures, and not really understanding what they're doing. I mean, I did a tender this week where, have you got an equality and diversity policy? Yes, tick the box. And then it went on to say, how does this affect your, so how is this implemented within your business, blah, blah, blah. So basically, you actually have to understand what that policy is. And be able to sort of extrapolate on that a little bit and say, well, this is how I use it in my business. So whilst I know small businesses can't have an HR department, they can, I mean, I know places where they can get hold of really good, sort of templates for policy that they can then customise for their business. But they need to take a little bit of an interest and understand what the purpose of that policy is. And then, you know, it doesn't hurt sometimes to have perhaps buy an hour of time with an HR person or something like that to say, how can I apply this to my business? You know, and actually, so that when you come to answer these questions, and if they ask you like a health and safety question, for example, in your presentation, you're not like, oh, I don't know. You know, you actually know why you've got those policies and what their purpose is for your business. So I think one of the services that I offer to people is what I call tender ready. What that is getting your business in a place where you've got all these things set up beforehand. And so that when you do your first tender, it's a bit less painful and it's quicker and cheaper. Because
I was going to say, in terms of the time kind of scale, sorry to cut you off there, but how long does a typical tender or bid take? Or is that asking, you know, how long is a piece of string?
It is how long is a piece of string. I mean, I've worked on tenders where I've worked on them for corporates, for like big, tenders. And we've been working on them for 3 or 4 months every day.
Okay.
And then there's other little tenders where I can do it in half a day, you know, because it's a small builder perhaps who's wanting to build bathrooms for disabled people through the council grants or something like that. And it's more about who they are and just some basic questions that they've asked. And usually that's around customer service and stuff like that, and then supplying some before and after pictures and that type of thing. But what I tend to do with most people is I never give a standard price for everything.
Okay.
So I always ask people to either download the tender if they can, or give me a link to the portal with their sign-in details, and I'll go through the tender and I'll do a specific price, because I know, looking at it, how long it's going to take me to do it. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes one of the biggest problems is they all have these word counts on them, the answers. And you can spend quite a bit of time just getting it to the word count. You don't have to get it up to the word count, because you can put in less. You can't put in more, because they just ignore anything over. So if it's 500 words, for example, and you put 560, the last 60 words, they just ignore. So you have to make sure that you've got your message across
in that particular kind of work camp?
The word camp that they give you, and that can be a challenge. But the good thing is, once you've done the first couple, which can be a bit painful, because obviously I'm extracting information from your brain to be able to write that, what we start to do is build a little bit of a bid library. And what that is it's basically content that we've written previously, which we can reuse. And I'm not saying we cut and paste it, because that doesn't work, because you have to answer the specific question. But it gives us over time a range of content that we can say, well, we can start with that and massage that to fit the question, and add a bit here and take a bit away and what have you. So it becomes quicker and easier. And the longer I get to know my client, I mean, I've got quite a few clients now, they just throw the tenders at me. They don't look at them until a couple of days before they're due, because I write them all and send them all over. And then they can just do a final critique. And obviously, if they've got to do site visits or something, then I'll have a conversation with them to find out anything we can put in that's very customizable for that tender.
Brilliant.
One of the most important things to think about when you're doing this sort of thing is make them feel as if you're just writing it for them, that you haven't pasted it from lots of other places, because they want to think that you've created this text just for their business.
They want to feel special.
Yes, they do. Absolutely. Don't we all?
So they want to feel special. They want to make sure that actually they're getting the right person for the job, and actually that person's going to be caring about their business as well. That to me makes sense.
Yeah, it's a transaction at the end of the day. I mean, all this business is a transaction, and you know, somebody's paying money for a service, and both people need to be satisfied. So the price needs to be up, because I've often told people to walk away if the right price is too low, because there's no point going for a tender where you're not making any money out of the business. No point at all. So everybody in that transaction needs to be happy. But as a provider, you need to be confident that you can provide what they're asking for. And you need to be confident that you can actually do a good job.
Brilliant. How did you get into the world of bid writing? You've already alluded to kind of copywriting in terms of the cutting down the text. How did you get into it? What was your journey a little bit?
Well, I was the kid who loved writing thank you letters. I've always And when I first got a job, I went to university and I got a business degree. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Everybody wanted me to be a teacher, and it was the last thing I wanted to do. So I took the first job that came along, really, that was local to me, and that was in what was called management services. And part of my role was time and motion study, which basically what it was for a building society, actually, is you had to document a process or procedure, write it all down, and then you would review it and make it more efficient, and then you would edit it. And then you would train the person in the new way of doing it that was more important. And I did all my qualifications in it. And that was basically all technical. And I sort of fell into technical writing. And I spent a long time, every job I had, I was doing all the writing. I did loads of stuff, too much for me to mention now. But then what happened is at some point I was working for a marketing director, and they said to me, why don't you do your marketing degree? Because you'd have a much better understanding. So the company paid for me to go and do my marketing degree in the evening. Okay. I had to do it at night, sort of night school thing. And that gave me a real awareness of sort of sales and marketing. And that married two things together. So I do copywriting. I do a lot of that sort of thing as well. But the bid writing is very much a marriage between technical content and copywriting, sales and marketing.
And so it's a nice mix.
It's a really nice mix, because, I mean, I've done very highly technical content, you know, with sort of in the gas industry and the oil industry and valves on submarines and stuff like that. And yet I also do things like bids for security companies and cleaning companies and garden companies and stuff like that. And what it's enabled me to do, doing all this stuff over the years, is basically to quickly grasp what the business does and how we can take any technical content and put it across in a way that somebody can understand. Because a bid is really a bit of a sales document, you know, when you think about it. It's like a glorified proposal in some respects.
It sounds it, yeah.
Yeah.
It just sound it.
you are selling your business and you're selling your services, you're selling yourself. And therefore, you have to have that element as well as the technical writing. So that's how I sort of fell into it. And when I first started doing it, it was very unusual. It only came across, I came along occasionally. And then over the years, it's, I mean, now, I mean, I could bid write every day. There's just so much of it about now.
Wow. And so if someone wanted to kind of start to look into applying for these tenders and then going through the process, you mentioned before about the portals, is there, and there's no central hub for them. How can people start to kind of get involved with those kind of jobs?
I have a document which I send out to people, which basically explains how the portals work and how you can go and find what you want.
Oh, brilliant.
You can actually go and buy a service which sends every, what it basically does is it sweeps all of the tenders from all of the portals and pulls them together.
Oh,
and you
can
subscribe to that, but it's very expensive. I mean, the one I was looking at recently is over £1,000 a year. And I think the bigger companies can justify that, but I don't know as a lot of my smaller customers could justify £1,000 a year. You know, it's a lot of money to find. And you've got to find the work and win the work and then make a profit on the top of it, you know. And some companies, you know, some of these tenders look as if they're for a lot of money, say for cleaning, for example. But there's so many overheads involved in the service that they deliver because it's basically people-based. The actual profit margin isn't that high. So you've got to actually win quite a few to make a really good profit out of it. So
that's a good tip there, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to look at all that sort of thing. But I've got that document, which is useful because it gives you somewhere to start. And quite honestly, I'm not sure exactly who your target market is, but if it's for sort of small to medium businesses, then the best thing to do is to start looking locally. And it tells you where to find your local portals for your local councils, local government, that sort of thing. And the thing is, the local government and local councils are looking to give business to locally. They want to support their local economy. So it's the best place to look initially.
Lovely. And how can they find that document?
They just have to email me.
Cool.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course it is. So I want to make
it's easy. I'll give you all the contact details at the end.
Brilliant. And I will put it all in the show notes as well. So therefore they've got easy access to it.
I'll give you all that.
Brilliant. And actually, do you know what? Step in, let's go straight into that. So if someone wants to get hold of you in terms of social media, you know, the website and all that kind of jazz, how can they?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. You just put Alison Reeves in. I'm easy to find, the bid writer. That's why I use that. I'm on Facebook, Alison Reeves again, and I've got the bid writer is a page that I've got on Instagram, but I don't do a lot with that at the moment. That's something I'm starting to look at. I don't tend to do Twitter and that. The other way to get hold of me, probably quite reliably, because I check my email all the time, is email, and that's alison@thebidwriter.com. But I've also got another handout if anybody's interested, which is my tender ready handout. And that gives all the policies and procedures that are frequently asked for. So obviously, if somebody's interested in either or both of those, I can pop them over.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, that'd be fantastic. And do you know what? I think this episode has been some really good nuggets. I've actually been quiet for a lot of it because I'm just taking it in. No. I love it. I've been taking it in because going through the process myself, I understand it as a brief level, but you've taken it to a whole different level and actually made it very simple. And we spent 23 minutes talking about kind of the bid writing world and tenders, and there's stuff that I know my local authority is doing, which actually other businesses could get involved with.
Yeah.
But I know they're going to be held back by some of the stuff you've said. So I can't wait to release this and get it out of there to give them the opportunity to understand it a little bit more. So thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
I finish all the episodes with the final thoughts. And this is your kind of one bit of advice, your one golden nugget, your final thought that you want to share with the folks who are listening to the podcast. So, Alison, what is your final thought?
Well, my golden nugget, I've thought about this, is to be tender ready. Because if you've got all your ducks in a row and you know that you've got everything in place, it makes the tendering so much less stressful. And once that's done, then you can move on to the other stuff. So if you get hold of my tender ready list, which I'm very happy to send to anybody who's interested. In fact, at some point, I'll get it up on my website, hopefully. Then I'm happy to send that out and people can actually work through that. And as I say, there are lots of places. Well, there's one place in particular that's very, very good for downloading policies and procedures that I know a lot of the HR people use. So I'm happy to share that information with anybody Brilliant. Who's interested.
Brilliant. Alison, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure.
And let's catch up again soon. Cheers.
Will do. Thank you.